Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 presents How to Prepare for Bible College with Brother Peter Moore. Brother Moore serves as the Director of the Advancement Department at West Coast Baptist College. This audio recording is a free resource from Dr. Paul Chapel and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
How to prepare for Bible college. How many of you already know what Bible college you're going to? Raise your hand. How many of you are in seventh grade and have no clue and don't care? Raise your hand. Okay. A few of you. Okay. I figured we'd have some of those. And how many of you, just curious, because we're on the campus of West Coast, how many of you are planning to come to West Coast? I'm just curious. Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. So put your hands down how many of you are seventh graders and you have a sibling coming to West Coast and you're just glad to get rid of them? A few of you. Okay. I get that. And I don't see any moms in here, so no crying mother situations. And anyway, it's good to have you guys here at Spiritual Leadership Conference. I hope you're learning a lot. And hope you're growing as a result of this. I want you to do me a favor today, and I am very mobile. And if I need to just pull this cord right out, it's like Mary Poppins; it just keeps on coming. Okay, here, let's get set up. Do me a favor. How many of you have your books? How many have your books with an outline? Raise your hand. Okay, about a fourth of you. No problem. Because today I don't want you really to focus on the outline. I don't want you to write it down. It's not a special outline at all. It's just there to guide us. But what I do want you to write down is I want you to write down some things that the Lord speaks to your heart about. And I want you specifically, we've already prayed, but I want you specifically to say in your heart, Lord, speak to my heart in some way and help me to begin preparing my future now. And I hope that as we read this scripture that the Holy Spirit will impress upon your heart. And it may be something very practical. It may be something spiritual. Chances are, though, that something, maybe even one or two things, is going to press upon your heart and God's going to speak your heart. And I don't want you to lose that thought, whatever it is. If something catches your attention and you say, you know, I need to write that down, please do and take action on it. And so long after you forget the outline, I want you to have something you walk away from this lecture and lesson that will help you in your daily Christian life and to prepare for the future. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to need some guys to help me out. Let me see. Can you help me? Yeah. Could you help me, Matt? And let me see. Yeah, go ahead and just run up here, guys. A couple of you. Yeah, just start passing them out. All of you get this book. This is the book that Dr. Goddard wrote on how to prepare for Bible college. And I told him he ought to be the one giving this lecture, but he is giving another lecture right now, and they selected me to do it, and I'm looking forward to learning from what God from the Word for what God has for us. So I'll give him a minute just to pass that out. And then once you get the book, I'm just going to let you read the book, and then we're not really going to have a lecture. I'm just going to let you go and play in the oasis, okay? So let's have a word of prayer, and I'll dismiss you. Just kidding, okay? I got about half of you, so anyway. But that book is going to help you. I'm going to focus today on part of the spiritual and heart preparation. I believe that is so vitally important. And then we're going to go into some practical preparation and. About 90% of you, what this is going to be very helpful and very much what you can principles you could use right now. There's about 10% of you that are very close to Bible college. You still need one. If we have one in back, I have some more underneath here. Raise your hand if you did not get one yet. Okay, there's plenty here. So, and while you're passing those out, we're going to turn in our Bibles to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse number 1, and Philippians 2 and verse number 1, and I'm going to give you a brief overview because I believe the scriptural context of what we're about to read, I want you to understand that, and I really believe that you're never too young to study God's Word and get something from it, and I'm going to talk about that, but we're talking about how to prepare for Bible college, and I believe a very excellent scripture I'm learning on this is in Philippians 2 and verse 1. It says in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, basically he's saying, if any one of you have a good relationship with Christ, verse 2, fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He's saying, if you have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, verse number 1, you'll have the same mindset, the same vision that I have, Paul's saying. Verse number 3, this vision, this mindset, talked about in verse number 2, is not fighting with one another or anything like that, but serving one another. Verse 4, look not on every man on the things, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So he's saying, be focused on the mindset, and here it is. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, I have this mindset, I have this vision, okay, I have this perspective. Not because it's my perspective, because it's God's perspective. Let this mind be in you, which is awesome in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to get to that about the mind being in you in a second. But here's the mindset that Christ had, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Great kenosis passage here, and Christ's focus on serving others and serving his Father over himself. And seriously, man, don't worry about that. You can leave it on there. That's not going to hurt the carpet at all. So just put it down and we'll move on. That is the least of our worries right now. And being found in fashion, number 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Out of his humility, obedience was born. And out of your humility, obedience and service will be born. Now let me just tell you what's happening. So Paul's saying, I want you to have the mindset I have. And the mindset I have came from Christ. And Christ's mindset was no reputation. Okay, that word reputation means no name, no status, not seeking a status, not seeking a level. Okay, but what is it? Now look at this. Wherefore? Now he's saying this because of the mindset Christ had. Wherefore, God highly exalted him, giving him a name above every name. God exalts those who are humble enough to obey, who swallow their pride and say, I don't want a reputation in life. I don't want a name for myself. Okay? I don't want a status symbol. I just want to be found a servant, humble enough to obey. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and the things in earth, and the things under the earth. He's saying, when everything is over, what will matter is what we've done for Christ. And look at this. He says, at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow. Now, when you bow before the Lord, what will matter? Think about that. Verse 11. Every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So, what in your life will glorify God the most? And don't be mistaken, okay? God wants your glory more than he wants anything else. Okay? I hear it all the time. You know, well, I'm going to make money and then I'm going to give money to God. God doesn't want your money. He wants your glory. He doesn't want you to have a good reputation and be famous all over the country and then talk about God. No. He wants your glory first. We'll get into that in a second. And so he says all of this for verse number 12. And I love verse number 12, a very misunderstood verse. And I don't know if you've ever seen it pulled out like it is here. But look at what Paul says. Having said all of this about the mind of Christ, not having a reputation, but being focused on giving glory to God, serving others. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does this mean? Paul is saying, whether I am with you or not, your salvation needs to be lived out through every action, through everything we do. And God saved you to serve. God saved you to serve. And preparation for college is so important because you need to be ready to live out the Christian life in the absence of your parents and pastors. Now look up here. Let me ask you this. How can you know you are ready to live your life in a way to where you know you're ready to live a Christian life that honors God and gives Him glory? Let me put it to you this way. How do you know that your life and your plans and your future will bring God the glory He both desires and deserves? How do you know that? Well, I believe that it's in the preparation. It's in the preparation. Several centuries ago, there was a great artist who was recognized and known all throughout this empire. And an emperor came to, called the artist in and into his palace and said, "I want you to paint a painting." And he explained the certain beautiful bird that he wanted to paint, that he wanted the artist to paint. And he said, "I want you to paint it." And he said, take it, you know, as much time as you need, but I want it to be inspiring. I want people to come in and say, that's the most beautiful bird I've ever seen." And the artist, took that advice and took the ideas that the emperor had given him, and he went to work. And the king was expecting it to take a few weeks, even a month. Many times the expectations of the king were just, you know, get it done right now. But he wanted to give him at least a couple weeks or a month, but it took much longer than that. Several months went by, and in fact, 2 years went by, and the king had not heard anything, and so the king decided to send an emissary to his house. And the emissary got to his house there, and he said, "The king is wondering where his painting is." And without even saying an excuse or anything, the artist took out an easel and a canvas and the paint, and he started to paint. And the emissary said, whoa, wait a second. No. The king told you to start working on this years ago, and you're just now going to sit down and paint his painting?" Within a half an hour, he had a masterpiece. He took the emissary back into this small room, and they opened the door, and they walked in, and inside that room were shelves. And on those shelves were stacks of paintings. And on those canvases, there were paintings of feet and feathers in different colors. And for 2 years, this artist had been perfecting every part of it so that when he was called upon, he could paint that painting with amazing results. And God wants you in your Christian life to be prepared so that when you're called upon, you can bring glory to Him. And everyone will look at your life and say, "Wow, look at what she or he can do for the glory of God." And everyone in that kingdom came to the palace and looked at that painting and said, "Wow, what a magnificent painting. What a wonderful kingdom this is." And people should be able to look at your life and the results of your life and say, "Wow, what an amazing Savior that person serves." It's in the preparation. And so we come down to verse number 13. I want you to read it together with me. Verse 13 of chapter 2 of Philippians. Ready? Begin. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Now, God wants to do a work in you and through you. So you will want to, and you will do His will. And so you will want to, and so that you will bring Him good pleasure, as this verse says. There are two kinds of people in this room. There are those that bring pleasure to themselves, and there are those that will bring pleasure to God. You have to decide which one you'll be. And I'll tell you, in high school, I had to make that decision. And you will make that decision over and over again, but you will have to decide, am I going to bring pleasure to myself, or am I going to bring joy and pleasure and glory to God? So there are just two actions we can take to ensure we produce the most glory for God and to prepare for our future. And we're going to look at these actions very quickly. And so the first action, if you have the notes, the first action is to pick your passions. To pick your passions. The first thing to prepare for Bible college is your heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Everything that you do, you'll do in your heart. First, before you do anything. It happens in here. It happens in the deepest part of your thought process. And your thinker, your feeler, your chooser. At your heart. The thoughts and the feelings that only you and God know you feel and think. That's your heart. And so to develop your heart is so key. And notice what the verse says. For it is God that worketh in you to will. Now, that word will is the Greek word phello, which means to have a deliberate desire for something. And let me first start by asking, what is your desire for your destiny? What is your desired in? Where do you desire yourself to be in 5, 10, 25 years? And make no mistake that your desire will take you to an end. Simply put, your desire will determine your destiny and will drive you to your destiny. Where you end up at the end of your life is determined by the desires you have now. Proverbs says, Proverbs 13:19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And we have certain desires, and you have to pick those passions. And believe it or not, God wants us to have those desires to take us in the right direction. And as a desire has incredible potential for good, it has equal potential for evil. That same verse, the desire accomplishes sweeps to the soul. It says, but, and I love this part, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Now here's what this is saying. It's saying that someone who is foolish desires something evil so much that he will not depart from it. Preachers call this a stronghold. You know what a stronghold is in your life? Anything that you cannot let go of easily. Parents say, you know, you've been posting some bad things on your Facebook. No Facebook for a week or whatever it is. If you can't relinquish that easily, okay, that's a stronghold. If you can't say, okay, Mom and Dad, you know what? You're right. I posted some things that are bad. That's my punishment. No problem. That's not a stronghold. Stronghold is where, taking that away. Now I don't even know what's going on in the world. I mean, my friend could have broke her nail and I didn't know about it. You know, whatever it is. I mean, God wants us to have that spirit of a good desire and not having that foolish spirit to where we have a wrong desire that takes us in a wrong direction. What desire do you have that you know is not best, but it has a hold on you, and you can't imagine giving that thing up, that thing that you do or you want or you desire? Someone once said, the first step to knowing God's will is losing your own. I believe that. You say, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't have a desire to be this awesome Christian. I just don't have a desire. I don't have a desire to give a year of Bible college in my life. I don't have a desire to get closer to God. I don't want to. I mean, I think all of that is great. And if I sat down in front of every one of you and had a one-on-one conversation, I think all of you would say, yeah, serving God's great, reading the Bible's great, praying's great. But I honestly, if I was honest with you, Peter, I just don't want to do it. Now, I want to get on Facebook. I want to see what my friends are doing. I want to text. I want to do all of these other things. Those are things that just come naturally because I want to do them. But reading the Bible and praying and all of this, it just doesn't come naturally because I don't want to do it. And so, let me ask you, what is your desire? What is your desire for your destiny? And then a more important question is, Who is the designer of your desire? Who is the designer of your desire? And I ask this because it says, for it is God which worketh in you to will. So let me ask you, let me turn that verse around and ask, is it God that worketh in you to will? Is it God that is working in you? Is it by His Spirit? Is that how your desires are? Is that what you're wanting? That word will, again, means to have a desire for something. And so is it God that's working in you for that desire? And a great verse that explains this is in your notes. And it's Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I always used to read this verse when I was in high school or whatever. And I used to always think this verse is awesome because I always thought, you know, if I delight in the things of God, you know, if I'm happy about going to church and all of this, then God's going to give me whatever I want. I mean, He'll give me the desires of my heart. And in my heart, I want a motorcycle. So God, did you hear that? You know, so I used to always think, but the verse actually means something a little different. God wants to instill in you the right desires, but you first must delight in Him. Now, how do we do this? Well, I believe there's two ways to do this, and I'd keep your eyes up here and focus on this because these are two simple thoughts. First of all, give God your thoughts. Give God your thoughts. When you delight in something, where do you do that? Now, I know that's a super simple question, but you delight in your heart. And so in order for your desires to be designed by God, you can't have control of your heart. You have to give it to God. Now, what does that mean? When someone says give your heart to God, I mean, that's not a surgical removal and you know, placing it in the offering plate. I mean, that's, you know, it is your thoughts, your thinking, your choosing, your desire, you know, your heart is your thinking, your choosing, your feeling, okay? Giving all of those things and saying, God, I'm giving you my wants. We'll get to that in a second, but first, you can't desire something you don't think about. And I think it's just utterly absurd how people think that they'll just end up serving God, but they never think about God. And they just want to do something great for God, but they never think about Him. Bible says the wicked, through pride of his countenance, will not seek God. God is not in all his thoughts. Psalmist said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. Let me ask you, not this week, because this is a very spiritually intense preparation week, and you've heard a lot of preaching, but last week, how much did you think about God? No. Now, let me put it to you this way. If I had a little machine where I took someone and I put their head, you know, down this machine, and we had a little projector here, and, you know, it started just processing, you know, kind of like a USB drive. You know, you just plug your head into this little thing, and it started just taking all the thoughts from last week. And they had a little other machine that it typed it out, and then had another machine that printed it out, and then had another machine that made a little book. And I held the book up here, and on the front it said, so-and-so, whatever your name is, thoughts. And we started flipping through that book. Now, first of all, I think there'd be some pretty scary things in there for all of us, including myself, okay? But you start flipping through that, you know, and on one page it's about the Miami Thrice, and another page it's about the World Cup, and another page it's, you know, you thinking about some girl that's ugly and you shouldn't be liking her anyway. And then you flip the page and it's, you know, about someone who you're mad at that posts something about you on Facebook. And then you flip the other page and, you know, it's all these different things that go through your head. How many pages would God's name be on? And that's my point, is you cannot desire something you don't think about. And I really want to encourage you to, in preparing your heart for spiritual preparation, that is what Bible college is. You have to prepare your heart and give them your thoughts first. You know, when you have some downtime, sit there and think about God, pray, and I don't have a whole lot of time, but I'll tell you this. God convicted me of this you know, I love to golf, and I was always, you know, I drive by a golf course and I just start thinking about golf, and I think, and I caught myself thinking about golf every time I had a lull time. I'd get in the car by myself and I'd be driving from here to my house, which actually is right there. You can actually see it from the window here. That's scary. No, don't turn around. That's my house. That's my private area. No, Anyway, I'm driving down the road and I'm thinking about it, and I was thinking about golf, you know, and the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, "You think about the stupid game of golf more than you do of me." And may we just allow ourselves in those times where it's just us and no one else to pray and say, "God, now I'm about to go in this class and this teacher is impossible. Help me," or whatever it is. May we give God our thoughts and may we allow Him to take those thoughts. And when we give God our thoughts, okay, I believe we will in turn give God our wants. And so underneath this, you know, who is the designer of your desires? You need to just decide, I'm going to give God my wants. God will put new desires in your heart if you just give Him your heart. And how does God do that? Well, we all have different desires, okay? Help me out with your name again, from Alaska.
Harvey.
What do you like? Basketball.
Hockey.
Okay, that's natural. I played hockey a little bit. We had a little. They'd freeze over the rink, right? They'd make a little rink. Growing up, I'm totally getting off the subject, but the fire trucks would come, spray it down, and make rinks. They'd probably do the same thing there. But you like hockey, okay? Now did you all of a sudden, you didn't really like hockey one day, but all of a sudden you woke up and bam, you liked hockey. And you just, the whole day, you never liked hockey before, but the whole day you're like, I got to get a hockey stick. I got to get a puck. I got to play. I mean, there's ice out there. I mean, this is the Arctic. It's Alaska. I mean, I got to skate on this day. Was it just all of a sudden one day, or was it just kind of over a period of time, you saw people playing when you were young, and then you just kind of skated a little bit? Is that kind of how it went, basically? Okay. Our desires aren't just all of a sudden a light switch, and then boom, here we go. Oh, I never liked mac and cheese before, but this morning I love it. You know, that's just, it doesn't work that way. And in our Christian life, we think it will. We think that our Christian life will be, you know, flip a switch and love soul winning, and flip a switch and love Bible reading, and flip a switch and love prayer. But that's not how it is. We have to give God our thoughts. And in turn, when we think about God and when we start doing the things of God, God then will instill those right desires in our heart and in our life. Here's a great example of this. When I was in high school, and not even high school, junior high, okay? How many seventh graders do I have? I love seventh graders, okay? But when I was in seventh grade, stand up. What was your name again? Travis, yes, Pickard. Stand up, okay? How tall are you? 5 feet. Okay, have a seat. Seventh grade, 6 months. I grew 6 inches. I was like 5'11 in the seventh grade, okay? Now, before you think that's cool, it's just not, okay? It just isn't. I'm sorry. I mean, I could barely walk, okay? I mean, it was like, you know, I mean, I'm just like, wow, these legs are getting really long, you know? I feel like I'm on stilts or something, you know? And, I mean, getting new clothes every month. It was unbelievable. Now, there's this basketball team. My parents said, "Yeah, you ought to, you know, do that." And I really, honestly, did not want to. Mainly because I couldn't walk, much less play basketball, and I didn't even know basketball. You know, I mean, I didn't know the game. And so, long story short, I'm sitting on the bench one day, and I'm hating it. You know, and I mean, for instance, one time, coach, you know, we were up by a little bit, and coach said, you know, "Hey, you go in." You know, I'm like, "Me? You know, where's the ball?" You know, I just didn't know what to do. And someone passed me the ball, and I'm like, "Ball, okay, goes in hoop." You know, and I'm like running with it, barely. You know, I'm like tripping over my own feet. You know, and I, my first points, this is true, you can call my coach, my first points of my illustrious high school career, basketball career, okay? We're negative. I put it in the wrong hoop, okay? So that's how bad I was. And I hated it. Not seventh grade, eighth grade was terrible. About the ninth grade, I said, you know, I'm going to read a little bit more about basketball. I started reading about it, and I'm gonna go down to Grant Wood Elementary School and play. Man, those are really short rims, elementary. I can dunk it, you know. I mean, I started to have a little more fun. I started to do it a little bit more. I still didn't like it that much, but I just started to do it, and I started to think about it. In my sophomore year, I started to do a little bit more. I started getting a little bit better, and I started to see some results. And I thought, man, I'm starting to like this. Junior year, few MVPs. It started to get better. And then senior year, then I went into the NBA. No, I didn't. So the whole point is I started just doing it. I started thinking about it. And after a while, boy, that it really developed to be a desire. I love playing basketball now. Okay? I still stink, but I love playing. And the point is, in your Christian life, you may not like reading your Bible. You may not like praying. You may not like doing those things. But hey, let me just give you a little something. Do it, and you may end up liking it. And I'll tell you, that's how it's been in my Christian life. I just started serving. Now I love serving. Start reading your Bible, and you just have to do it. You start praying. You see results. And boy, after a while, you say, I can do this prayer thing. It works. It's helping me. And so, who's the designer of your desire? And you say, these are the desires I have. I have all these desires to make money and have this car and all these new things. And okay, that's fine. But who's the designer? Because if it's you, that's going to be worth nothing at the judgment seat. Notice every knee shall bow. When you get to that point, focus on that. So the greatest preparation for Bible college is the preparation of the heart. And so pick your passions, okay? And then secondly, ponder your plans. Ponder your plans. Now that we've focused on preparing our attitude, let's look at preparing our actions, okay? And really start preparing what we're going to do. And Bible college is the first step on your life's path, okay? And the verse says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will, we've covered the desire portion, the attitude portion of it, okay? Both to will and to do. And it's got to be a God thing. This cannot, the whole Bible college thing cannot be something that's just, you know, okay, whatever, I'll go, you know, they have a we in the Oasis, so I'm there, you know. No, it's got to be a guy, it's got to be a God thing. That every guy and girl decides, hey, God wants me here. He may not want me there for 4 years, but he wants me there for a year to prepare spiritually, to be ready, as Paul said, in the absence of, not only in my presence, but also in my absence. God wants you to be ready for when your parents aren't around, for when your pastor is around. And listen, let me tell you, if you can't do right now when your parents are around and when your pastor is around, let me just give you a news flash. You're not going to do right when they aren't around. Okay, so I'll just tell you that, but ponder your plans. Ponder your plans. Solomon said in Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. All thy ways be established. Now, let me ask two questions, okay? And I want you to ask these questions to yourself. When you're pondering your plans, ask yourself, first of all, what are you doing to prepare? What are you doing to prepare? Someone once said, and I believe this is in your notes, the man who is prepared has the battle half fought. And if you're a child of the king, you got to be prepared for some seriously intense spiritual battle. And if you're prepared for life, the battle's already half fought. True followers of Christ must be ready at once to build and fight and be ready and prepared to endure all types of challenges. And so that is why Bible college is so important. I mean, at least for a year, to prepare, to be ready, to give an answer to every man. You want to make the most of this vital preparation time. So before you go to Bible college, before you come here or wherever the Lord is leading you, first prepare spiritually. And I'm not going to go into this whole passage, but Luke 14:27 talks about picking up your cross and following Christ. And he says, hey, listen, you gotta think about what you're doing when you decide to follow Christ. You pick up your cross, but someone doesn't go out to build a tower and then get halfway through and stop, and then everyone mock them. That's what this passage is saying. Someone doesn't go to fight a battle and realize that he's outnumbered 2-1, this passage says, and then just go. No, you sits down first and counts the cost. And so he says in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. And so you want to know what Bible college does. It teaches you to pick up your cross. And carrying your cross means following him, not yourself. And there's so many people that follow themselves when making their plan. And so what are you doing today to prepare for the spiritual battle and the spiritual building at Bible college? Okay, and so prepare spiritually, but secondly, prepare practically. Now I'm going to give you some practical tips. If you're going to Bible college soon, these are going to be things that you're going to want to write down in the margin of this, because you're not going to find this, even at West Coast, we're not going to send this out in a list, but I promise you this will help you. Very practical, okay, so bear with me. And if you're in seventh grade, you might, sit up and listen, okay? First of all, save money. Your first payment is due right when you get here. So just a practical note, save money. Secondly, practice typing. You're going to be typing projects, and you're going to be typing lists and notes and lessons to teach. You're going to be typing a lot, so practice typing. You're going to be typing guys' letters to a girlfriend, letters to her dad. You don't want typos, okay? So start typing now, okay? Another practical note, there's 7 quick practical notes. Number 3, search for clothes. I wish someone would have told me halfway through high school, hey, If you see a suit on sale, get the sucker. I mean, you're going to need it, especially for Bible college, okay? I mean, the week before I left for Bible college, I'm like, hey, wait a second, I have 2 suits. I'm going to need a few more. And, if you want to know some places you can go to get cheap suits, you can talk to me about that afterwards. I'll give you some hints. Polos, non-wrinkled dress shirts, okay? You're going to have some mornings where you're short on time. You want something that you don't have to, put 1,000 cans of starch on it, to get the wrinkles out, okay? And some guys just say, let's get them wrinkled, it doesn't matter, but it does. Start reading. The faster you are, the more time you'll have for other things, and you'll read a lot. And so I say start reading now and be a little bit more proficient about that when you get here. Number 5, do your research and know why you're going to a place. It amazes me when I ask someone just out of curiosity, hey, where are you going? Okay, well, sounds good. Well, how did the Lord lead you there? Well, I don't know. It's like, whoa, the almost the biggest decision of your life, and you did absolutely zero research. I mean, there are people who did more research on the phone they bought than the college they're going to, okay? And that's one of the things. If you want to win souls, don't go to a place where the average professor hasn't won a soul in 3 years, okay? I was talking to Brother Lester, and he just won someone to Christ. Our academic dean won someone to Christ last week. Dr. Goddard won someone to Christ 3 weeks ago, discipling someone. Lord allowed me to win someone to Christ a couple weeks ago. Russell Mearns is his name. And boys, just what an awesome thing. And go right down the line, Dr. Rasmussen. I could name every, but that's what we're about here. But, I think it's funny and tragic that someone wouldn't do their research and not know that a place was erring doctrinally or the philosophy of ministry is not what you want or that would benefit you. Okay, so do your research on where you go to college. And of course, you're here doing some research about this place, and some of you know a lot about that, about this place. But do your research and really know and get the facts, okay? And then once you decide on a college, and you know it's where the Lord wants you, communicate, okay? But I'll tell you, there's so many people who just say, I'll just show up and it's good to go. Well, there's a few processes, okay, that you have to go through. So communicate to the college. And then finally, number seven, pack accordingly. Now, I'm going to give you a list of 10 things very quickly that I wish someone would have given me before I came to Bible college. And it's just some practical things. You're not going to get these on the website. You're not going to get these in the catalog. Okay, these are just simple things, but that make a big difference. The first thing, flip-flops, okay? That may seem ridiculous, but of course, you know, you're not going to wear them to church or anything, but you will use them around the dorm in any dormitory. You know, it's just easy to, you know, when you're cleaning out the shower or whatever else, and trust me on this one, you'll use them, and it'll be a help to you, and you won't have to put on your shoes and so on and so forth. So I grew up in Iowa. Probably all of you have a pair of flip-flops. I didn't have one. I didn't have a pair when I came. Now I have 18 pairs. So flip-flops for the dorms. Plastic tubs. Very practical here. Preparing for Bible college. Plastic tubs. You want to use as much space under the beds as possible and storage and all of that. And you, trust me, girls, you're not fitting all 192 pairs of shoes you know, in the closet, okay? And don't act like, oh, I only have 100, you know. I know how it is, okay? Yeah, plastic tubs. You want to maximize that. So shelving. Believe it or not, you're going to get a lot of books and a lot of notebooks in college. And so you want a place to put them. You don't want to just throw them in the trunk of your car, okay? Next. If you can't afford it, a laptop. It'll be a huge help. And go ahead and just, you know, download this MP3 and just edit out this one portion and say, hey, they told me I need to get a laptop for your parents, okay? Just convince them. No, that it'll be a huge help, especially for colleges like us that have on-campus Wi-Fi. You'll just be able to, it's a huge help. And the college, I could go into so many technological things that we're doing here at West Coast and I can't speak for any other college, but I do know here it's a help. Now, we do have computers here that you can use, and so that, you know, it's not like you have to have one. Don't tell that to your parents, okay? But you know, I need one. But laptop would be nice. Next, number five, a file box. And let me give you a hint. I wish someone would have told me this. Get a file box and write on all the files the things you want to have when you leave college. Okay, begin with the end in mind. Guys, if you guys are called to preach, make a file folder for sermons. Make a file folder for illustrations. All those things you'll need to preach. You got to be thinking like that. Now, you're going to get thousands of sermons, thousands of illustrations, thousands of ideas. You want to have that file box there so you can go back and reference that. And so that's something I would say. Number six, a bed light. This is for early morning reading. Or if your dorm supervisor lets you late night reading or studying or whatever else, but it's nice to just be able to turn the light off and if someone else wants to go to sleep, to turn your light on and work on something, okay? So that's very practical. A digital recorder. If you go to a college where there are good teachers, it's going to be tough to get all of the stuff they're saying. I mean, there's some guys like Dr. Goetsch that speak in quotes. I mean, everything he says is like divine revelation. I mean, it's like, whoa, oh, you know, I mean, you accidentally miss his hand. You think lightning's going to strike you or something. You know, it's like, sorry, Dr. Goetsch. I mean, he just, when he speaks, it's like, whoa, you know. Dr. Sisk, some of those guys, Dr. Rahr speaks like 1,000 words a minute, okay? And you're like, you know, cramping up and everything. You want to have that digital recorder, and you can just go back and listen to it. Now, West Coast gives you handout notes, so you can just put the blanks. I think we're one of the few colleges that do that in most of the classes. So if you're going to another college, I'm really sorry about that. But we give the handout notes, and that's a blessing because you can just write in the margins or whatever else. But the digital recorder is nice to go back and listen to those things, especially if you're an audio learner. If you're a kinesthetic learner, then you can just write that down. If you don't know what that is and you're a seventh grader, just bear with me. A journal. For remembering things you won't forget. Now, what I mean by that is there's going to be some experiences that you just don't want to forget. And there's going to be some things that you won't forget because you have a journal. Okay, so you want to remember those things you won't forget. And I say that just tongue in cheek, but there are some things you just want to write down. There's some things that I recorded that happened in college that were just special. Okay, special moments. And so a journal. And then the final two things. Thank you cards with stamps. There are others that are just going to invest in your life during this time. And as they're giving, you want to be grateful. I wish I would have had a whole huge stack of thank you cards. I had to go out and get them. And so that's just a practical. And then finally, and probably most important, snack food. Let me tell you, okay? Snack food is the currency of every dorm, okay? I mean, I could get an ironing board, and possibly a laptop if I had the right snack foods, okay? I mean, it is, let me tell you, you have some bargaining power if you have snack foods, and so just some practical things. So what are you doing to prepare? That's the question, okay? What are you doing to prepare? And then let me ask you this on a little bit more serious note. Who are you doing it for? Who are you doing it for? Is Christ the central purpose for your plans? Oswald Chambers said, a Christian college should be a place where God helps himself to lives. And Bible college is a place to where God wants to help himself to your abilities and talents. And you know, why are you planning to do what you're planning to do? And some of you have told me some of your plans and what you plan to do, but why are you planning to do that? And ask yourself that. Not doing things as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart, Ephesians 6:6. And boy, I remember first coming to the college, and I saw this girl named Danielle, and boy, she worked for Striving Together, and I thought I could strive together with her, you know, and you know, Striving Together, what a great name, and I just all of a sudden had this feeling like, you know, I really want to help Striving Together, I want to volunteer there today, you know, and boy, you know, just. I found myself over there volunteering for Striving Together all the time, you know. And now, did I have the wonderful prepared purpose statement for Striving Together memorized because I want to advance the purpose for Striving Together publications? No, she's cute. Okay, you know that. I mean, I didn't have the motive of you know, putting the packets together to help pastors. Who cares if a pastor is touched? I want her to be touched by me doing this. You know, I mean, you know, that's how you think. And so for me, I was, you know, I didn't have the right motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? And when God works in you, the Holy Spirit has control of you. And your motives and movement and your motives and movement are not manufactured by you but by God. And so what are you doing to prepare and why are you doing it? And so there's two simple steps. Pick your passions and ponder your plans. And quickly, it will allow you to produce good pleasure. And it says verse 13, of his good pleasure. And two quick questions. Will my plans bring pleasure to God? God wants I will more than he wants IQ. You may be the smartest guy in here, the smartest girl in here, but if you're not willing to surrender your life to God, God wants your will. God wants your life. God wants I will more than IQ. And this is found all throughout the scriptures. And there are several listed in your notes as well. And so, will my plans bring pleasure to God? And then let me ask you this. How can I bring God good pleasure? How can I bring God good pleasure? Some of you will bring pleasure to God, joy, and glorify God. Others of you will bring God much pleasure. And others of you will bring much pleasure to God. And to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge, but to do the will of God is the greatest achievement. And God wants you to understand that and understand that His will would be for you to glorify Him. Let me tell this story and then I'll be done. Look right up here. There was a pastor in Richmond, Indiana, who back in 1880s, who was a pastor of a church. It was a Christian church, but nonetheless, he had given his life to preaching, and back then the church that he was at would be very Baptistic in their doctrine. But regardless of that, he had 7 children. And they actually moved from Indiana to Dayton, Ohio, and back and forth. They moved a little bit, and he would travel a lot and preach. But that was the age of industry. I mean, it was taken off during that time, and people were developing things, and really at that time the craze was bicycles and manufacturing things like that, and he was. He had some children who were very intrigued with that one particularly, and he and his brother were very intrigued by this age of industry, and they were always messing around with something. And at one point, this pastor stood up in his pulpit and said this statement. He said, "For man to fly is utterly absurd and against the will of God." That pastor's name was Milton Wright, the father of Orville and Wilbur Wright. And what they did, those brothers, the Wright brothers, what they did seemed ignorant and wasteful and ridiculous to everyone around them, but it brought a lot of pleasure and it brought us as a whole generation, it brought everyone after them much pleasure and much of the ability to navigate and get around and get back and forth. And every time someone flies, it's because of those Wright brothers and what they did. First to fly and all of those things. Let me ask you this. Are your plans that you have right now, are they to bring you pleasure? Or are they to bring God pleasure? And what are you doing right now to make sure that what you do, okay, doesn't make everyone around you happy, okay? I'm glad that the Wright brothers didn't say, "Well, you know, it's not the will of God." I mean, someone said it. It's not the will of God. It's totally absurd to fly. We're not even going to try, you know? No. They developed what they used what they had. And I believe if you use what God has given you, your abilities, in your potential, and develop that, I believe God will use it and take it and grow it. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help each person in here as they prepare for a life of service to you. Lord, whether it's full-time service, Lord, or whether it's serving in a church, but Lord, help them to realize that, Lord, everyone's to serve you. Lord, we were saved to serve. Father, I pray that you'll just help us to not focus on what will make us happy, what will give us a reputation, Lord, and what will make those around us happy. But Lord, help us to focus on what will bring you the most pleasure? And as we prepare, help us to prepare our attitude and just giving you our wants and having you instill the desires in our heart. And then with our actions, preparing for the future. And Lord, so that we can bring you the most glory. And when we stand before you, help us to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, help us to be good and help us to be faithful so we'll hear those words and enter into your joy. And we'll thank you for it. I pray that you bless the rest of the conference. In Jesus' name, amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.